You're listening to Now I've Heard Everything, interviews from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s with voices from the past.
It has to be exactly the same or different.
That's right.
I don't vary recipes of family things, the family recipes. I don't vary those. But I do vary all the other recipes.
Entertaining guru Martha Stewart today on Now I've Heard Everything. I'm Bill Thompson. Well, just a few more days till Christmas now. Now, what, you don't have your house all decorated yet? You don't have the dinner planned? Nobody knows more about entertaining and planning such things than Martha Stewart. Well, all right, maybe there's somebody who knows more than Martha Stewart, but she's the most famous entertainment planner. And perhaps the most entertaining and fun interview I ever had with her was in the fall of 1993, not long before Christmas that year, when we sat down and talked about her book, Martha Stewart's Christmas. Now, that also happened to be just about the time. It was just a few weeks after she had launched her new TV show, so we talked about that and her business empire. And Christmas. So here now, from 1993, Martha Stewart.
I was looking through this the other night, and I have two daughters, a 13-year-old and an 11-year-old, and I can just imagine what the house will look like and smell like if I turn them loose with a book like this.
Well, have you? Will you? You should.
I'll tell you, this
is... It's time to start. You know, right after Thanksgiving, that's when we start our preparations for Christmas. And it does. Children love this book, the Christmas book. Families love this book because there are projects that you can all do together.
Now, must you wait until the day after Thanksgiving? Is it proper? We can't do anything
before then? Well, we have to think about Thanksgiving first. I mean, that's starting this Saturday.
Well, the stores have the Christmas decorations up a month
they
ago.
They do. And that's sort of disturbing. But Thanksgiving is next week. So we're thinking about the turkey. We're thinking about the pumpkin souffles and the pumpkins. And we're thinking about all the ways we can change tradition this year and still keep it traditional. And then we start thinking about Christmas. I have started to collect little odd presents here and there for Christmas. We've started to make Christmas stockings. The magazine has a great article. Did you see it on the Christmas stockings? And so those things have already started.
So I tell you, we don't need a fireplace to have stockings.
Nope. Not at all. You can put it in a chair, on the arm of a chair. You can pin it on a cupboard. You can hang it on a knob of a door. You do not have to have a fireplace.
Because we traded a finished basement and a fireplace for a finished loft in our house.
Oh, you did?
The basement's still unfinished. We don't have a fireplace, but we have a really nice loft.
Oh, that's good. So, that's good. Well, wood is getting scarcer, so you don't have to burn wood.
Yeah, but, that's one of the smells that we've come to look forward to.
When
the first evening, when you get home from work, the first really nippy evening of the fall, and it's kind of dark, and the leaves have started to fall, and you smell that first whiff of a good aged
And your children bring your slippers
firewood.
To you,
yeah.
And your wife brings your cocktail. Oh, how nice. I love it. See, that's what living's all about, see? And you imagine those wonderful things, and that's what I hope everybody can imagine and actually accomplish, because that's what it's about. It's about those comforting moments. It's about the fun of getting together and making up a batch of cookies. You know, that's what do we do? You know, what else is there really?
Well, there's a kind of a balancing act you do too. You want to preserve the tradition because that's why they call it tradition, because it's been preserved. But on the other hand, you can't make the same turkey, the same pumpkin pie,
no.
All the same stuff every year. So you've got to do a little of both.
Oh, I got a good new recipe for sweet potatoes.
Ooh.
You slice the potatoes uncooked, peel and slice the sweet potatoes, nice thick slices, and you bake them. With a little bit of water, just bake them slowly, and then add caramelized onions on top with some toasted pecans, and then you slice some apples and put those on at the last and keep baking it and baking it, and they all sort of go together. It's so delicious. Doesn't that sound good? And they're sweet potatoes, that's tradition. But just those other flavors added to the potatoes make it something new, make it something different, and certainly very appealing.
Is there any one particular, either a food or a kind of decoration or tradition that you do every year? You don't change it because if you did, the other people would kill you.
Well, let me see. I've been killed so many times for changing everything. I've been dead so long. No. Let me see.
My kids are very – their memories are like – no elephant can rival my kids'
like
memories.
What is the thing?
They'll say, We didn't have that there last year. We had it over there. And you can't do that year because we did that 2 years ago. Remember when I was 9, Dad? We did that way.
See?
So everything's got to be exactly the same. Everything's got to look
different. See, that's the thing. It has to be exactly the same or different.
That's right.
I don't vary recipes of family things, the family recipes. I don't vary those. But I do vary all the other recipes.
You are really the multimedia personality now.
Well, we're trying because I understand, I think, the viability of television as well as the printed word. And I'm really, really enthusiastic about being able to perform in both fields. It's a real challenge and a real gratification.
Well, it also sounds like you understand a concept that seems to escape other people, that broadcast media do not replace the print media, that they can complement each other.
They certainly do, and the audiences are greatly different. There's overlap, of course, but the audience is so different.
Are you surprised to see a young man stopping you on the way into the studio saying, I watch you every week?
No, it makes me really happy because I'm happy that he's a young man, not in our usual demographic. And I am very pleased that he already knows about the program, which is only 8 weeks old. And I'm just thrilled. So,
well, there's stuff in here really that appeals to anyone.
Well, I hope so. And the subject matter is very broad. Everything's called living. So it's under that heading. And living really does encompass a tremendous number of subjects, which allows me to really run full rein in the printed word and on the television program. People say, well, is that really? We're going to do a story on chickens in our magazine. Rare breeds and how beautiful they are and how interesting they are to raise and what great eggs they lay. And, you know, people say, well, why? But it's again, it has to do with living. It has to do with keeping house. It has to do with animal husbandry. It's all under the title.
Well, I find people looking through, be it a book, be it a magazine or watching the show, and they you know, people are selective. They'll pick and choose. You know, maybe that doesn't quite appeal to them. No, I can never see myself doing that. But this thing here that she's doing, or this thing here that she's showing us, that really looks neat. I think I'll try that.
But again, the more you give, the more they get. And that's been my theory all along from the very first book, Entertaining, until this book, Christmas. The more information that we can get across, not that everybody's going to do everything, and we don't hope that they can or even desire that they do, but that they choose, that they have the opportunity to pick out what's appealing to them.
But also, you're a great springboard. I mean, you can look through this. A person with just average imagination can look through a book like this or a magazine and watch a TV show and get ideas from your ideas. They may not do it just exactly the way you're doing it.
I don't want them to. But I want them to be creative in their own right. I want them to, as you say, use it as a springboard, use it as an inspiration.
They'll say, well, blueberries don't sound quite as good as currants would sound in that situation or something like
good.
That.
Good. I hope they have the ability to say that.
That's right. I wonder how many people even know what a currant is anymore. But we used to have a currant bush outside our house.
Oh, a red one or a black one?
Oh, red.
Oh, aren't they delicious?
Oh, yes, yes.
They look like rubies.
But, you know, I haven't seen one in a long time.
Oh, I grow red currants, blue. I grow red, white, and black currants now. Hmm. The white ones are extraordinary.
Wow.
I found them in England and didn't know that I could get them here. I searched and searched, finally found a nursery that sold them. And they are very sweet and very beautiful for jellies.
But, you know, it has also occurred to me how little...
Start your day with Now I've Heard Everything.
We post new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time.
Subscribe now so you'll have something fresh to listen to and get your day going.
Back to my 1993 interview with Martha Stewart.
It has also occurred to me how little we know what's going on right outside our back doors. And I know people on my block couldn't even tell you what kind of trees they've got in the backyard.
Well, I find that very disturbing. And that's why we do what we call the glossaries, the pictionaries in our magazine. Because I find that you should know what kind of trees are growing on your block, and you should know what kind of shrubs are growing around your front stairs, because that kind of knowledge is just basic. I can't imagine not knowing that. And yet, as you say, a lot of people ignore that. And I think now with more interest in and around the home, the 80s you know, the going away from the home of the 80s has now really focused on the home in the 90s. And I think we are more interested. We want to know. Even the New York Times ran a story today. It was very interesting about ordering flower bouquets. They ordered like from 10 different florists. They, at the end, the conclusion was they would get a better result if they knew what kind of flowers to order, what kind of container to ask for, and they admitted that you have to know in order to get. So it's interesting.
Well, the better, certainly the better informed you are, the more you can specify
and
exactly.
The more interesting life you're going
to
have.
And the more idea, coming back to the idea of ideas, you know, it's not, I mean, it's cumulative and it's pyramidal, you know, that way, the more ideas you have, the more ideas you have.
Of course. That's how I
you must work. You must be filled to overflowing with ideas by now.
Well, I am not. I mean, people say, don't you run out of ideas? And I say, I have never run out of an idea. I can't even think of running out of ideas, because as you say, it is a very expansive way to think, and I want to think that way always.
Just as a practical matter, it occurred to me, I mean, via Sky Radio, you're talking to a very business-oriented crowd, a lot of people who know how to run giant, sprawling corporations. Book, magazine, TV show, I mean, how do you manage? Have you become Martha Stewart or Incorporated? How do you have time to actually do the things that don't involve, how closely involved do you get with the actual publications?
Oh, I read every word. I write every word in my books. Those are mine, okay? Totally. My magazine, I edit every single word. I read. I go on as many photography shoots for that magazine as I can. We're going 10 times a year next year. We've been 6 times a year, and that's been manageable. 10 times a year, I'm a little bit frightened about, because at the same time, I'm also producing 30 half-hour television shows for next year. So I have wonderful staff. I really do rely a lot on my staff. I have the backup of Time Warner for my publisher, and they are certainly a knowledgeable print media, and they're also producing with me my television show. So it's not like I don't have backup. And we have joint ventures, and we have, but I oversee still, because the content is my idea. And it's
got your name on it.
It has my name on it. So I am very, very wary of what I include in my publications and on my TV show. And I'm very, it's very personal to me. So I want to keep it that way.
Are you able to dovetail the material that you...
Oh, absolutely. The Martha Stewart television program uses a lot of the research that we do for the magazine.
But that's not to say it duplicates the magazine.
Not at all. And we don't want it to. We're not a magazine that is a television show. We are a magazine with a television show. It's ancillary. All the things I'm trying to do are ancillary to... they're all ancillary to each other. And that's sort of nice, because that way you keep a freshness about each project, you keep different people working on different projects, not the same people, and you get a... TV is very different from magazine, so different from the printed word. The magazine is so different from the books. And I see that, and I love the difference, and I love keeping that difference clear.
You know, something else that has occurred to me, as it may have occurred to you, the American public is very fickle. What's hot one day is totally out of style the next day, and you know, the person who's a great celebrity one day is a who was that the next day. Are you at all surprised over the years at the sustaining power of your appeal?
Well, remember what I'm doing. I'm talking about the basic way to live. I'm talking about what people have to do every single day. Eating, sleeping. We just did a story on blankets, you know. For heaven's sake, I mean, how to make a bed. I did that on Kathy and Regis.
How to make a bed.
Do you know that has been one of the most responded to television spots I've ever done? People are saying, I ran right out and bought a feather bed. I can't find two double single flat sheets. Some lady today came up and said, you know, I go to buy a set of sheets, but they come a fitted sheet and a flat sheet. I want two flat sheets because I want to make corners the way you made corners. Believe me, what we're doing is so basic that it can't go out of style. It only gets more and more in style.
I'm long since convinced that the sheet people are the same people who will sell you 10 hot dogs but a package of only 8 hot dog buns. These are all, it's all part of some corporate conglomerate, because no sheet I've ever had, no fitted sheet ever fits. I figured it was just me.
Oh, well, I'm not a big fitted sheet person, and I really do like those the flat sheets. So we have to fix that. We have to remedy that problem here.
Martha Stewart is 82 now and lives in New York. Now, you can get a copy of Martha Stewart's Christmas by tapping the link in our show notes or by going to our website, heardeverything.com. And we may earn an Amazon commission if you make a purchase. Heardeverything.com is where you'll also hear my 1999 interview with the Barefoot Contessa, Ina Garten.
I think it's just about taking really good ingredients and enhancing them. That's really what cooking is for me. It's not about so much about the art of layering flavors and trying new things.
And my 1987 interview with actress and cookbook author Jill St. John.
Anybody can be a good cook if they have all the right ingredients and they follow the recipe. But a great cook is someone who makes do with what they have.
And as you know, we post new episodes of Now I've Heard Everything here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And you can find us everywhere you find podcasts. And thank you so much for listening. Next time on Now I've Heard Everything, we're going to be talking mathematics. But don't worry, this is not the boring stuff we sat through in school. This is fascinating, theoretical, mind-blowing stuff. My 2009 interview with theoretical astrophysicist Mario Livio.
It is the search that enlarges and expands your, you know, visions of what's possible and in your mind and so on, irrespective of whether at the end you have a yes or no answer.
That's next time on Now I've Heard Everything. I'm Bill Thompson.